I want to thank Reverend Knowles again for the opportunity to be here today, for his words of welcome. It is good to be able to come and share with you the Lord's dealing with us and our lives and the calling to Uganda. He's asked me at this morning's service to give a word of testimony of God's saving grace in my life, and I suppose a slightly fuller version of the Lord's call to us, to Uganda. I just want to read a couple of verses to you before we would begin. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. No doubt verses that you're probably familiar with. In Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, we read there, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." As I stand here today speaking about the Lord's call in my life and the direction, even as the video would speak of, from my early years, a farm, to all the different steps, really that is what I testify of today, of the truth of these words we have here before us. He is the one who directs our paths. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to testify. Consider back again what the Lord has done in our lives, and to see how the Lord's hand has been in it all. I want to say it is an amazing privilege to be able to testify of God's saving grace in my life. Now that what I will share with you this afternoon, today may not sound very miraculous as some testimonies you may hear, yet the day and hour that the Lord saved me, it was every bit as much a miracle. I may not have been a drunkard. I may not have been involved in some of the awful things in this world. Yet I was still a sinner who was dead in those trespasses and sin. Dead. God raised me to newness of life. And is there any greater miracle than that? Than taking that which is dead and giving it life. So yes, why there may not be all this talk, as many testimonies sadly are, about all the wickedness of their past life and so much speaking of those things, I can rejoice that the Lord spared me from that, even when I did not know him as my Savior. Yet, as I say, I was a sinner and needed to be saved. Now, as a child, I was brought up in the Church of Ireland. I suppose that is the wing in Ireland of the Anglican Church. I was christened. I was confirmed, yet neither of those things saved me. Neither of those things had anything to do with my salvation. But I am so thankful to the Lord that from a child I did know my need of a Savior. My parents sent me along to many different church children's meetings and to Sunday schools. And from an early age I knew I needed a Savior, and I made a profession of faith. Now, as I look back on those childhood years, and yes, so thankful for the teaching that I received at all of those meetings, and as I think of my profession of faith, as I look back, I see I did not grow with the Lord in those childhood years and into my teens as I should. There are some growth, yes. Well, I have to say I constantly had doubts. And what you could call a lack of assurance of salvation. Often, not even often, it probably could have been on a nightly basis. The last thing, as my eyes were closed in my bed at night, I'd have been pleading unto the Lord to save me. It seems that I hadn't got through and I wasn't sure, was I saved? And I would ask over and over again. And this continued through my childhood and into my high school years. See, as I consider this lack of assurance and really what was behind it all, I believe it was because I had a wrong view of salvation. What I, as a young child, thought salvation was all about. You see, yes, we must preach hell. We must teach and warn people that sin is leading them to a lost eternity. I'm not saying we should not preach those things. We must preach on those things. We must warn people of where they're headed if they do not turn to Christ. Yet, I suppose I had a wrong emphasis. I had a wrong emphasis on on what salvation was all about. See, salvation, it is not a salvation just from hell, but it's salvation from sin. You see, I had this idea that I had said a prayer, I had asked the Lord to save me, and now I had found my way out of hell, and that's really all salvation was really about to me. That's all it was. There's nothing to do about being this new creature, being new and being saved to live life unto holiness. I suppose I do believe that was much of my difficulties at this time. Now, I completed my school years. I completed school after my GCSEs. I couldn't wait to leave school. I hated school, and that's just honesty. I just could not stand the place. I wasn't there very much when I was supposed to be there. And I just couldn't wait to leave school. So therefore, after completing my GCSEs, I began to train as a maintenance electrician. I worked in a large bottle factory in County Fermanagh in Northern Ireland. And there, that's where I did my apprenticeship in training to be an electrician. And it wasn't during that time, let's say in those years, that after leaving school that I met Rhonda, who is now my wife. Now, at this stage, I was attending a local Baptist church, and my wife, she belonged to the Free Presbyterian Church, a member of Caish Free Presbyterian Church, right there in the west of Northern Ireland, nearly as west as you can go in Northern Ireland. You've come to Caish, and that is the church that my wife attended. Now, I had never been in a Free Presbyterian Church before I had met Rhonda. I knew of the church and heard many stories, and of course, so many of them not true. But I had, say, never been in a Free Presbyterian Church before I met Rhonda, my wife. And Rhonda been very faithful, and so thankful to Rhonda. She very quickly had me attending many services of different types within the Free Presbyterian Church. And one of those meetings that she had me attend is an annual meeting every summer held in another congregation in Fermanagh in Inniskill, known as the Loch Earn Convention. And that year, I think it was 2005, and the speaker at it was Dr. Alan Kearns. As I sat in that service that evening, it was as if Dr. Kearns was speaking directly to me. It didn't matter how many people was in that building. The building could have been empty, and it was just me sitting there, and it was like him speaking directly to me. And in fact, I would go as far as saying, it wasn't even as if Dr. Kearns was speaking directly to me, but ultimately, it was the Lord. The Lord was speaking to me that day. As Dr. Kearns spoke on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit and how we as Christians should be examining ourselves often to see, are we bearing that fruit? In other words, is there evidence of the work of salvation in our lives? I felt such a strong conviction coming over me as I examined my life. This life, this profession I had made of it, I say a salvation from hell, but where was the fruit? Where was the desire to live unto holiness? Where was this fruit of the Spirit which we're all to possess if we are saved? That night I went home, I cried unto the Lord, sought his mercy, and the Lord from that day has given me a peace. Has given me that wonderful assurance that I know he is my Lord and Savior. And from that day, I have grown in my walk with the Lord. I have not that greater desire to learn more of him, as the Apostle Paul's great desire was to know him and the power of his resurrection. And if you're here today, and maybe like me, there has been some point in your life that you said a prayer. Oh, I asked the Lord to save me, you could say, but where's the fruit? Where is the evidence of that in your life? Where is the desire to grow in the knowledge of him? Where is the desire to, in that verse where Paul speaks about to know him and the power of his resurrection, that power, it's not talking about God's power in raising him from the dead, or in fact, Christ's power to raise himself. But that power that is spoken about here, it's talking about, Paul's desiring, it talks about that impact. It's talking about that the resurrection would really have an impact on his life. You see, that is what it is to be saved. If you're truly a child of God, you ought to have a desire to be impacted by the wondrous gospel. To not simply say, oh, that's something that saved me, but have a desire to be impacted more and more and grow in love and knowledge of Him. Well, dear friend, if you know of none of these desires, but salvation to you is just a get out of hell free card, you must re-examine your life today. Oh, I believe the Lord had saved me. I know He had saved me. And that was when the growth began to occur. Now, I say that was after my GCSEs. I trained as a maintenance electrician, and the boy who hated school thought, you know what, I might give education another go. It's amazing what the Lord does, interacting our paths. And I suppose I have to say it was my wife, Rhonda. She was probably the great driving force in seeing that I could maybe do better in terms of education. And she was the one who pushed me on to give education another go. So I returned to full-time education. I began doing a HND in electrical engineering, electrical and electronic engineering. And after completing 2 years of that study, I then was able to go full-time to university and to complete an honours degree in electrical and electronic engineering as well. So I give up the work and give education another go. And it was then towards the end of my time in university, my 4 years of study, I really felt the Lord was beginning to challenge me about a work for Him, to do something for Him. I trust that you are familiar and you do learn the Shorter Catechism, and you're familiar with those wonderful works. And it was really through that the Lord really challenged me. Maybe at times we don't get very far through that Shorter Catechism, but even those with a very little knowledge of the Shorter Catechism, I think most of us at least get to the first question. Like, what is man's chief end? Now, the answer tells us man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The Lord challenged me with that. My chief end in life is to glorify God. You see, here I was coming out of a university with my degree in electrical and electronic engineering, and I was thinking, you know, how can I use this degree? It'd be great to be able to make a name for myself. Maybe I'll have my own little business. Maybe I'll have my own little van with my name on the side of it. I'll do something and I'll make a name for myself. And, you know, it was all about me and indeed maybe the money that I could make. It was a time of boom. It was a time when there was a great need for engineers, and I was thinking of all those things. But the Lord, He struck me that my chief end is not to make money. My chief end is not to make a name for myself. My chief end in this life, as a child of God, is to glorify Him. You see, God's word tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, even in our work, even in our school, even in all that we say and all that we do, God's glory should be at the foremost of everything that we do. So, what am I going to do with that knowledge? This fact the Lord is telling me that I have to give my life and giving glory to Him. How can I do that? Here I was finishing my time in university, electrical and electronic engineering. How can an electrical engineer use what he has to glorify God? I prayed over this, left it with the Lord, and soon the Lord gave an answer. It was brought to my attention that in one of our Christian schools in Northern Ireland, you may know as a denomination, we have several schools that come under our presbytery, independent from the government, receive no government funding, and we set a biblical and God-glorifying curriculum within the schools. And one of those schools, our Clocker Valley Church, they were advertising for a science and technology teacher. And straight away here I could see, here was a way. These talents, these gifts that the Lord had given me in my time in college and university, in this very field, here was an opportunity to use these things to glorify God. Again, this was the boy who hated school. And here was now the Lord leading him, calling him to give his time and his knowledge and his abilities to serve within that place. So really, to cut a long story short, I could say much more. There I served for 4 years. There, a time that I loved, I really loved my time there working with other Christians There's nothing better than to have a working environment where you all have that same goal and that same vision to glorify God. And that was a wonderful time, a wonderful experience. But then the Lord began to direct my paths a little further. Direct my paths to something else. And the Lord did this in a most striking way in my life. And it was through death. You see, death can be a wonderful preacher. Death can often teach us much more than many things that we see in life. And really it was the death of two men with very different lives, a young man and an older man. Now, to look at me, you may not think it, but several years ago, I used to play cricket. I used to play cricket for a local cricket team, and cricket's maybe not the best of sport to try and play in Northern Ireland. We really don't get the weather for it. There's a wee bit too much rain, and therefore, because there's so much rain there, there's an awful lot of rescheduled fixtures. So the cricket season, it should have been over weeks before this, but the matches had to be rescheduled. So then, at the very end of the summer, a rescheduled match, been played at our local cricket ground, was a match, final match of the season. The visiting team coming from further up from Northern Ireland, in Newton Ards. And on the day of the match, the cricket pitches on one side of the road, and the team had to cross the road to turn into the cricket ground. And one young man, travelling with his friend in his car, as they crossed that road, turned across the road in front of a car coming the other way. And the young fella sitting in the passenger seat was instantly ushered into eternity. Now, I don't know that young man's name. I don't know very much about that young man, his family, his life. Yet the Lord was pleased to use that in my life to speak to me about the shortness of life, to speak to me of how I was living my life. How, if that was me, this ultimately all I could think of, what if that had been me? What if that was me in that car? What if that was me that was ushered into eternity? What if that was me who had to stand before my God, the one who sent his son to die for me, had died for me, had saved me? What could I say I had done for him in return for all that he had done for me? That was the Saturday. The following week, the members of staff in the school, we had to return. Oh yes, the children, they had still another few days off, and the poor teachers had to be in and making preparations for the year ahead. And before we would start such preparations, the school principal, Mr. David Wilson, in fact now a licentiate as well of our denomination, he's the principal. He opened that morning, as we did many a morning, with God's word and prayer. And that morning he turned to Psalm 90. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, we read there, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, our brother didn't know anything about my experience of this accident and what was going through my mind and through my heart, but the Lord knew. What a amazing verse this is. What a challenging verse this is. Teach us to number our days. You see, through this death of the man, this young man, that's what the Lord was doing with me. He was getting me to number my days, to see how short our life is. How we can be so guilty of wasting our life. And then when we look back, we say, how many years I wasted. How many years I could have been using in the service of my King. Then there was the death of another man. A man who had a much longer life, a man who had his 70 years. But this man's life and his death had an impact on me that I did not expect. Now, no doubt you will not have heard of this man. His man by the name of Willie Honeyman. And this man, Willie, was an unusual man in many ways. He's my sister. He was my sister's father-in-law, and that's how I began to know this man. But he was an evangelist. I say he may not do everything the way we do. He might not dot all the I's and cross all the T's. He was a rather eccentric man. But that man had a desire to serve the Lord. That man had a desire to tell others of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. And I had been, I said, burdened much by the death of this younger man. I had been reading much of God's word and considering, has the Lord wanted me to do something more for him? And in my own personal reading of God's word, he had challenged me through the words of 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. There we have this exhortation. Yes, given from Paul to young Timothy, but the exhortation was very clear. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, these are the words I'd been reading. And then this following week when I went into school and I heard the death of Willie Honeyman, this elderly evangelist, those words came striking back to my heart again. Do the work of an evangelist. There was a man who had heard those words and for years faithfully had obeyed them. So again, the question came, well, what about me? What about me? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to be one who will do the work of an evangelist? Now, what did that mean? What did that mean for me? What was I going to do? Well, we all love to know what that means, don't we? We all love to know what lies ahead of us. What's 5, what's 10, 15, 20 years down the line. We love to know what God's final will for us is. But you see, that's not the way the Lord works. And praise the Lord it isn't. For I don't know if the Lord had told me all those years ago what he was going to have for me to do, I would have ran. I have been a Jonah. But praise the Lord, he takes us. He directs our paths one step at a time. And as I left it with the Lord told me clearly what he wanted the next step to be. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. In that verse we read, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, I wanted to know what it meant to do a work of an evangelist. What did the Lord want me to do? What was his will for my life? What way did he want me to serve him? Well, first thing that he wanted me to do was study. Study to show myself approved unto God. I applied for college and thankfully my application was accepted. And there for the next 4 years I would study in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Having completed my studies in the Whitfield the following September, I received the call to Kurragari Free Presbyterian Church in County Monaghan in the Republic of Ireland, and there for the last 5.5 years, I've been so thankful to be able to serve the Lord there. Oh yes, there's been challenges, but what wonderful blessings there has been, knowing that there the Lord would use me, knowing it was the Lord's will to serve the Lord there. However, I'm standing here today not because I'm the minister in Kurragari, but I'm standing here today because the Lord, in his will, has decided for me to take another step. You see, I've said it to my people in Kurragari, if I were to stay in Kurragari, it would be a disaster for me, and it would be a disaster for the church, because it is not the Lord's will for me to stay in Kurragari. What a disaster that would be for me to be out of the Lord's will, indeed for the church to be out of the will of God. But you see, there is a step. And again, yes, I fully knew the Lord's will and the call of my life to go to Kurragari. But yet, even before I went to Kurragari, even in those very early days of going into the Bible college, the Lord was burdening me for something else. Yes, it wasn't that I treated Kurragari as a stopgap. That is not what it was at all. The Lord closed certain doors and he opened that door in Kurragari. And that was indeed the Lord's will for my life to be there and our family for those years. But as I say, back even very early in my time in Bible college, or going back a few years now again, to about 10 years ago, the Lord challenged me. Telling me to do something which I suppose could be considered quite strange. And it was to pray for the land of Uganda. And that may seem like a very strange thing. Here's this little country in the center of Africa. And the Lord burdened me to pray that he would raise up a door of service for our denomination in that country. The Lord burdened me to pray. And I did pray. And not before long, the Lord had answered those prayers. You see, in that year in Bible college, in that first year of college, I remember to this day, our brother, he told you, he announced that Reverend Park will be coming to bring God's word to you. Well, Reverend Park, he used to be a lecturer in the Bible college. He lectured personal evangelism. And I remember that day that he came in to teach us. And he came in with this great smile on his face, with great excitement. He told us that this man, now we know to be Noel Kelly, had contacted the mission board and had requested an interest in us taking over that work and leading that work forward in Uganda. Now, I had never heard of this man. I had never heard of that work. But it was with amazement. Here I could see the Lord had heard my prayer. Such a strange thing maybe to be burdened for, yet the Lord heard my prayer. And of course, as the video said, when the Lord answers such a prayer as that, you have to be thinking, well, Lord laid upon my heart to pray for him to open the work for us. He's opened that work. Surely the next thing I must be praying and considering, well, Lord, do you want me to go? And the short answer to that question was no. At that time, the Lord did not want me to go. He closed that door for me. He opened it for others. And while I was praying for someone to go and saw the Lord had answered that prayer, I was, as the word I used in that video, there was a jealousy that it wasn't opening for me, but it wasn't the Lord's will at that time. And the Lord has opened the door for Kurigari, and there I have served the Lord. But there in my time, as the door for Uganda appeared to be opened again, the Lord really began to burden me again for that land. I left it very much with the Lord, didn't share it with anyone, but I had to ring Reverend McMillan. Reverend McMillan is a minister in our Armagh congregation. He is the secretary of our mission board at this time, and he is also the chairman of a subcommittee. There's several subcommittees within our mission board that looks after different continents and different parts of our missionary work. And he is the chairman of the Uganda Oversight Subcommittee. And I had to ring him one Sunday afternoon. I had an aunt who was sick and wanted her to visit him, the visitor, in the Armagh area. And that's really what the conversation was about. But in the process of conversation, Uganda came up. And he spoke about it and about the willingness to go for a few weeks to help out there in the church. And then he asked me a question. I'm not sure the exact word, but ultimately, had he ever considered serving the Lord full time on the mission field? Now, the Lord really struck me with that question, really burdened. I knew it was the Lord that was speaking to me. And as I came off that telephone, I really felt here, Lord, are you opening this door again? And the Lord didn't just finish there that day, but the Lord continued to speak. This was the Sunday afternoon. We have an evening service at 7 p.m. And as I come off the phone, my mind had to turn to just getting reading over my notes and getting ready for that service. Even just as I was reading over those notes, I realized this message that I had prepared, it was a message for me. Sometimes as a minister, I don't know if Reverend Knowles thinks the same, but sometimes the word Lord lays a word upon your heart and you're coming to the Lord's house to preach it, and you at times wonder, who's this message for? Who's this message for? Who's the Lord? Who's going to hear this message? Who's going to have this word? And God's word's amazing. And there's an application, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to everyone's heart. The application can be different, but the Lord can do that. Yet at times, we wonder, is the Lord going to use this message at all? And maybe I often ask that question. As I asked that question, maybe of the sermon that I was going to preach that night, it was clear that the message was for me. You see, that night I've been working my way. I'm not going to get it finished in my time in Kurigari before I go. I've been working our way through the book of Exodus. At that stage, we were at Exodus chapter 3. We were at Moses at the burning bush. In Exodus 3, verse 10, we read those words, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And really what my message was about that Lord's Day, to cut it very short, my message that day was about how the Lord can burden us, the Lord can show us a desire of what he'd have us to do, but sometimes we must wait to see that come about. And you see, this is the perfect example of that. If you know the account of Moses and his time in Egypt, it tells us in, I think it's Acts chapter 7, it speaks there of how Moses had an understanding. I think Acts 7:25, Moses, when he killed the Egyptian, and the next day he went out and the fellow Israelites, they said, "You're going to do the same to us," and they said those things, and it speaks of Moses' confusion. And he says, really, to paraphrase, "Do they not know that I'm to be their deliverer?" You see, so there it was clear that Moses had an understanding that indeed he was to be their deliverer. That was the Lord's will for him. Yet for the next 40 years, he would live in the wilderness. For the next 40 years, he would be a humble shepherd. For the next 40 years, I wonder, did he begin to think, I got that role wrong. This mustn't mean the will of God for me. Or maybe you thought that, it's never going to happen. But there, in an instant at that burning bush, the Lord said to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee." Now was his time to go. Well, you see, what a message that was to my heart. On that very same day that a brother speaks to me about missionary service, the Lord said, "Now is your time to go. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee." Dear friends, that is why I stand here. Because the Lord is sending me. Our brother speaks of the fact that I'm going under our mission board, and that is a very important thing to remember. We are not to be mavericks and just do our own thing. It is clearly, it's biblical, and we see it in the New Testament church. Those men were sent out by the presbytery, by the church. They were sent out. They didn't just go on their own. But ultimately, and with that in mind, and keep that in mind, it is the Lord who sends. While they will send me, will be a sounding forth service for me in June, while they send me, it is ultimately our God who sends us to go. And to go to Uganda, to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now on site, it's not just a church. If you were here yesterday for the presentation, there's also a school. There's presently about 500 children registered in the school. There's some 80 children who live in the school all year round during term time. It's amazing. It's amazing to see how the Lord has guided our footsteps. To think this young boy grew up on a farm, didn't like education, that the Lord would guide me even into that apprenticeship. I did that apprenticeship so I'd be able to take that next step to go into college and then into university. It was through college and university that then I was able to take that step into teaching, and then from teaching into the ministry to now going to work in Uganda with a school, 500 children and a church. To see how the Lord has used all of those things, how he has directed my path, directed my steps to bring me to where he is bringing me today. And that's an amazing thing. To see that the Lord has been using all those years. Oh yes, we talk about wasted years, yet I can see the Lord's hand has been in every year. That while I feel that I'm probably getting too old to be going to Uganda, somebody was praying this morning about the young man and I realized he was speaking about me. But you see, our lives are so short. Lives are so short. Are we willing to give them to the Lord here and now? To be willing to go? Are we willing to serve? Oh, the Lord directs our paths. Are we seeking his direction? Are we seeking that direction? Are we acknowledging him in all things? Or acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. An unsaved one. Will you acknowledge him today? Will you acknowledge that there is a Savior? Will you acknowledge that there is a God who has spared your life, has directed your path, and indeed maybe directed your path, your very steps into this building today to hear that there is a Savior, one who died upon a cross to save you from your sin? Oh, will you acknowledge him as your only way of salvation? Oh, may he direct your paths. Oh, Lord, may your feet today be directed to the cross of Christ. And you may be gloriously saved. Oh, that you will give yourself to him and indeed give yourself to the service of the King. May the Lord take these words and may bless them to each and every one of your hearts today. Thank you very much.